I love doing things for God. I really do. I just get up in the morning trying to figure it out. And some days I don't figure too good, but I love doing things for God. You know why? All night long when I was asleep, He was watching over me. All night long when nobody else was looking, He was looking. I woke up this morning with an appetite. You ever go through life without one? It's a sick day. See, God is so precious, so involved in every day of my life. How could I not get up and think about somehow I can do something for God? If you really believe the air you breathe, He provided, that heart that beats in your chest, He takes care of it. See, it's a personal, intimate God, and I want you to be a part of that. I want you to know that. I want you not to become lazy. I don't want you to take anything for granted. You know, we're in a fight for good and evil. And I'm not against people who are evil. But I know my God can change evil and bring good out of it. He did in me. You know, when God saved me, He saved me from me. I'd be afraid of Ron Davis if I didn't have God. I wouldn't have a beautiful wife and my children and my grandchildren. I just wouldn't have all that. I just know me. He saved me from me. Isn't that good? He saved you from it too if you just let Him. And just serve Him and care for Him and let Him nurture you and let Him watch over you at night, wake up in the day. And when your grandchildren and your children come up and give you a hug, man, that's just God hugging you through the lintage that He gave you. Amen? Just God hugging you through the lintage. So one of the preaching today, I'm going to preach a message about go ye therefore. One of the last things Jesus said as He went on to glory. But I titled this message, Let's Go Together. Let's go together. Because, see, it's a journey. Let me tell you something. When the army of God moves and we all move together, it's a great army. But if you got half of them not moving, the other people are looking and say, well, I don't think I'm going to move either. Let's just all do it together. So today in this worship service, we're going to have an opportunity to do something together. You know, Sunday's really a weird day. It's the only day of the week that y'all get up and get dressed and go to the same place, same time. The rest of the week, everybody's going everywhere. So this is God's time, it's God's house, it's God's worship. So we pray that we can do it together. As we begin this journey, we ask God, how can we do better for You, Lord? What do You want us to be like? He loves us and desires for us. I want to take an example of the disciples. Jesus handpicked those guys, the guys that you and I wouldn't pick. But He knew what He was doing. You know, you ever get upset when God does business? I tell people, I'm not God. His thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not my ways. He's just God, and He's always right. And He wants to help us to be right. And we can't be right doing it our way. You know what a simple definition of sin is? Doing it my way instead of God's way. That can be sin. Just doing it my way instead of what God wants me to do. And I play God all too much. I got a big church t-shirt that says right in front, I'm not God. You know what it says on the back? You're not either. We need God. We need God's ways. We need God's plan. We need God's help every day of my life. And if you think you've read your Bible enough, you think you've prayed enough that you don't need that, you haven't read enough, you haven't prayed enough. Because I'm a needy man daily for the crumbs of God's grace in my life. And yesterday's grace is phenomenal, but today is a new day. We want that help. And the illustration of that is God's disciples. On Easter Sunday, He handpicked them, trained them for 3 years, getting them ready for the crucifixion and the resurrection. They never got it. They seen all His miracles. He watched them raise the dead. They watched Him heal. He watched them love the sinners. He hung out with the sinners. He made all the Christians mad. And He just did all these creative things. But He was trying to get His disciples ready for Easter. That's what He was trying to do. Now, we get ready for Easter. Man, we bring out our music and we bring out this. We invite people and we buy clothes and we get ready for Easter. But on the very first Easter, those disciples didn't even show up. They were done. They didn't know what to do. They just didn't show up. But that didn't discourage God. God didn't say, I wasted 3 years. He hung around 40 more days to help get things done. And so, I want to help you to understand what happened on Easter Sunday. In John chapter 20, I want to read today on verse 19. On verse 19 of chapter 20, it says, then the same day at evening, you know what happened on Easter Sunday night? God had church. Amen? He had to find them, but He had a church. Church is a good thing on Sunday night. Say amen.
Amen.
Raise your hand. No, go ahead. Being the first day of the week, When the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Here's the disciples. They're in the upper room. The upper room where Jesus prayed for them, where Jesus washed their feet just a few days earlier. The upper room was when they broke bread and they transferred that Passover meal to the communion that we honor today. He transferred all of that from that Passover time to remember about the blood that was shed on the doorpost that saved all of the Egypt and those land, those Christians. Now he's helping them understand the blood that's going to come on Calvary to save our lives. So he transposes that Passover meal to our communion service that we have in our church. And he's there, and he's done all those things there in the upper room. But then Jesus died. And they couldn't believe it. They couldn't understand it. How can God die? I was in Africa preaching one time to a bunch of Muslims, and I was preaching about God and that Jesus was the God of this world. And one of those Muslims stood right up in the midst of a couple hundred people and said something in his language. I asked my interpreter, what did he say? He said, "Jesus is not God." And when he said that, all the Muslims clapped. Well, that kind of fired me up a little bit. I think Jesus is God. And so I walked through that crowd. They're all sitting in the dirt. And I get out there and I took my interpreter. I said, "Sir, tell me again what you said." To the interpreter, he says, "Jesus is not God." And then I ask him, "Why is Jesus not God?" He says, "Because God can't die. That's why he's not God. God can't die." And you know what I told that guy that day? Who are you to tell God what he can and can't do? Who give you the authority to say God can die? If my God wants to die, he can die. If my one God wants to come alive, he come alive. And everybody clapped. That old boy went to the house. That's where he needed to be. I want to tell you something. Your God can die for you. And he did die for you. And he did raise from the dead for us. But here they were stuck in the upper room. And he walks in and just says, "Hey guys, I know you're hurting and I know you're afraid, but peace be with you tonight." What would that be worth to you? What is the truckload of peace worth in your life? All the money you got can't buy it. Peace is a gift of God. Peace be with you guys. You know what they felt in that moment? Peace. And they were up there so afraid. And then when he had said this in verse 20, he showed his hands and his side. Then the disciples were pleased, were glad when they saw the Lord. He said, "Guys, this is it right here." Showed him his feet. Showed him the piercing. He let them see. Jesus said to them, "Peace to you. As the Father sent me, I also send you." I wonder what that means. As the Father sent me, I also send you. What do you think that means? God wants to send all of us somewhere, right? Just like the Father sent him. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." I want to tell you, they never had the Holy Spirit until after the resurrection. They had God. He walked with them. And whenever God wasn't with them, they were empty. See, their strength was the presence of Jesus. And now the Holy Spirit's been breathed into their lives, which is God in them. The same Holy Spirit that impregnated Mary to become pregnant is the same Holy Spirit that bore me again. I've been born again. The same Holy Spirit. And so he's helping them. He's trying to get them there, but they're really scared. It takes a while to get over fear. And so then in verse 26, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. You know, how would you like to, the reason why it says Thomas in here, because here early in the scriptures is Thomas didn't show up that day. It's recorded in the Bible that Thomas missed the first Easter Sunday night with the disciples. But then Thomas is there. After 8 days, the disciples again and Thomas with them. Then Jesus came in the door, being shut, and said in the midst of them, "Peace be in you." And then he said to Thomas, just think, Jesus walks up and says, "Thomas, I missed you." He knew his name. He knows your name. He knows my name. He said, "Thomas, I'm not mad at you. I missed you last Sunday night. I'm glad you're here. I showed these other guys all this, and you didn't get to see it. Thomas, I want you to see it too. Isn't it amazing how Jesus is so thoughtful, so compassionate? So then he said to Thomas, he says, reach your finger here and look in my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Then Thomas said unto him, my Lord and my God. I am ready to go, God. Ready? God, I'll give you everything I got. I'm just ready. You're my Lord and my God. You're my master, and I love you. Let me tell you something. Until you really get to that point where you say, God, I'm just ready, you never really enjoyed the God that saved you in the fullness. He said, I'm ready. And you know how I know these disciples were ready? Because they all die for him. They all died a martyr's death, except for John, on the Isle of Patmos. These guys finally got ready. What would it take for you and I to be ready? Maybe a life change. They're ready. Thomas is there. He says, help those who never get to see. And in verse 29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I haven't seen it physically, but I really believe. I just believe it with everything I have. I want to believe that. I want to work on that. He is a God who is personal, who is intimate. He is so caring that no one could ever match him. I believe. So I want to help you to think that tonight. That's where the disciples were. Story doesn't end there. Go to chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on his way he showed them. And then come down to verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you. And he went out and immediately got in the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Now, this is what I really believe that happened right here. Simon Peter, you know Simon, he's always ahead of God a lot, saying things he shouldn't say and doing. Simon says, man, this got me down. Man, he's dead, he's alive, he's here, and then he's gone. I think Simon Peter came to the conclusion and says, you know what? What was Simon Peter and those boys before Jesus called them? Fishers. I just believe he said, God, I just kind of quit. I can't do it. It's too much for me. You know, I've quit on God several times. It isn't a good day. I decided my way was better than his, or I couldn't understand his ways and just quit. It is a bad day. Now, here's the problem once you quit. It don't take much in life to become a quitter. Once you start, it gets easier. Once you start missing church, it gets easier. You can become a quitter and don't even know it. So see, Jesus is trying to get these guys to rock the boat, but Peter now, he says, guys, we're going fishing. Then all of them jumped up. You know, they say, let's go out and visit people. Nobody goes. Let's go fishing. Let's all go. Peter just took them all in the boat. He's going to tell us in the story. Jesus, in that night, and they fished all night. And the Bible says they caught nothing. You know what I hate about quitting? You always catch nothing. It's a lonely place to be. So Jesus shows up in the story and says, hey guys, cast your net on the other side of that boat. And they cast their net, and they couldn't even pull in the fish. Jesus asked them first, hey guys, you caught anything? They had to say no. Nothing. How would you like to go fishing all night and tell the story I didn't catch anything? But that day, Jesus turned their life around. And then he looked on the seashore. They said, it's Jesus. And they went. They quit. They're in the upper room. And they went. And they sat down and ate fish together today. Now, Jesus is glorified body. I don't know exactly what goes on in heaven, but I'll tell you what, they were eating. I can eat the real Coke and drink and eat the fried chicken without getting fat in heaven. I can't wait to get to heaven. Just get it all. Eat. Just enjoy it. So, I want you to put this in sequence. I want you to get it. As they begin to say it was the Lord, they finally got it. Now, I want you to remember this, John chapter 20 and 21. This all takes place down, far away. And then Jesus tells his disciples, if you go to chapter, book of Matthew, chapter 28, I want to pick up in verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. Now, I want you to get this. When Jesus first saw disciples, where were they at? In the upper room. Because why? They were afraid. Okay? The perfect love of God can cast out fear. It really does. And then what happened in the next step we saw? They quit. They went fishing. And then Jesus ate fish with them and dined with them there. And then in Matthew chapter 28, it says in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. See, he was just showing up in their life because they were running and they were afraid. And then he says, guys, I want you to go to Galilee. I want you to get up there, and I want to come, and I want to see you in Galilee. You go. Let me tell you something. Let me just ask you a question. Where are you at today in your life? Are you in the upper room? Are you afraid to do too much for God? Or maybe you're on the seashore. You've been hurt, and things haven't gone well, and you love the Lord, and you try to go to church, but people just don't get along, and you just quit. You know how many millions and millions of people today in America are sitting home in their living rooms who quit on church and quit on God? By the millions. Look at our church rolls across America. We couldn't hire the FBI to find half of them. They quit. They're not going anywhere. It breaks your heart. Doesn't it break your heart? So where are you at today? Are you in the upper room and you're afraid? Are you on the seashore? Or are you on your way to Galilee? There comes a day in my life when I have to mature enough that I begin to do what God asked me to do. I have to come mature enough where I'm willing to put my weight into it. I'm willing to put Him first before me. I'm willing to put God before my family. I'm willing to do whatever God asks. There comes a day when we get out of the upper room, when we get off the seashore of quitting, and then we get to Galilee. Thank God for Galilee. They're on their way. Let me just tell you something. You know how far it is? That's a 90-mile hike. And they didn't fly or ride a bus. They walked. Get to Galilee. And they're on the way to Galilee. Aren't you glad they're on the way? The story gets better. Tell your neighbor, this is going to get good. Just tell your neighbor, this is going to get good. They said that Jesus said to Galilee, and when they saw Him, now get this, they worshipped Him, but there were some Baptists. I mean, it's just, but some doubted. Some doubted. I don't know if Methodists doubt, but Baptists got a problem with that stuff, okay? But some doubted. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. Let me tell you something. If you want to please God, if you want to let God know that you love Him, you worship Him. You worship in spirit, in power, in might. When you love Jesus, you don't have to go to church. You just got to go. When you love Jesus, you just can't stay away. Man, when you love Jesus and understand all they did, they finally worshipped Him. He met them in the upper room. He got them off the seashore, and they said, go to Galilee. You know the reason why they worshipped Him? You can't worship God when you're running from Him. You can't worship God when you're afraid of Him. You worship God when you're with Him. And they're finally worshiping God. I mean, can you imagine when Jesus walked up to Galilee and there they were, stuck everywhere He was, and then all of a sudden they're singing praises, they're bowing down, they're worshiping the name of Jesus, they're thanking Him, they're holding Him, they're loving Him, they're hugging Him. Jesus is there and they're worshiping. He is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our time. He's the God who saved everything. He is worthy of our worship. And you think you can do this without worship, you'll never do it, because when God made us, He made us to worship Him. We are designed to worship Him. I don't care if you go to a church, it's real quiet. When the mouse runs across, it's irreverent. If you're one of those people who like quiet and you can find God in quietness, worship. If you're some that raise your hand and run around the bench three times, get it up and start raising. But just worship Him. Don't make quietness about Him. Don't make raising hands about Him. It's just Him. Just worship Him. He doesn't care how we do it as long as it's Him. Amen? Some people think that my worship is just closer to God. Well, that's the dumbest thing you could ever say. How can you do anything? You're closer to God. Ain't nothing but your expression. It's God. Well, if they was really, really love the Lord, they'd raise. You know, Baptists can't raise hands. This is about as high as we get. This is it. And Pentecost, they think that maybe they're close. How can they be closer to God because they raise their hands? Closer to God because what's in your heart. And if you feel like raising your hand, raise it. Amen? We somehow want to figure out which is the best way to do this. Just love Jesus in your personality. Just love Him in your way. But they're worshiping Him. I tell you what. And then when they come down to verse 18, then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." He said, "Guys, up there in heaven, Reverend Moses is going to bow down to me. All the prophets are going to bow. All the angels in heaven, those thousands upon thousands and millions, are going to worship me. I have all authority in heaven and on earth." Wow. I don't mind. Think about that. Let me understand what that means when I have all authority. If you're ever driving down the road and you're going too fast and a police officer decides to pick you up and they turn the light on and pull you over, when they walk up to your car, they have a badge on. It may be a county sheriff, maybe a local police officer, maybe a state police. But here's what the deal is. He's under the authority if he's a state policeman. He's not there on his own. He's not a lone ranger out there in the middle of nowhere. He's under the authority of the state of Kentucky. You mess with him or her with that badge, everything Kentucky has comes after you. See, that police officer is under the authority of the state of Kentucky or the county where you live, under their authority. And ladies and gentlemen, when you go out and begin to do something for God, when you go out and speak His name, you're under the authority of God, and hell can't stop what God put down here. We're under His authority. We're not lone rangers. He tells us later, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." You're under the authority of God, and I hold it in my hands, and I give it to you. Go in my name, and they will bow, and they will pray, and they'll come to a Savior. Aren't you glad you're not on your own out there? You're under the authority of heaven, and all of the world worships that authority. I want you to know, we have been trained into our worship and our church, and many of us have been learned that we come to church, and you know, I just don't feel good if I miss church on Sunday. That hour is real important to me, and I appreciate that. But this hour is more important than that. This hour is your life for the whole week. This hour is commissioned by God to go ye, as we sing about it in our songs, as we believe in our heart. But we don't go anywhere for God. We don't do anything for God. We just think coming to church is enough. Maybe praying, paying tithes is enough. How foolish is that when He really wanted your heart? And He wanted you to worship Him and share your love of Christ. We are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. And how will they ever find a Savior until they meet somebody who is sharing His love and grace and power? In your personality. Don't dare try to be like me. And I don't want to dare try to be like you. But I just want God to use us how we're wired. And we're all wired different to share our story. Amen? He says, go. The text means as you're going. It's not when you're going on a mission trip. It's as you're going to Walmart. As you're going to work. As you are going there, therefore you be my witness in Jerusalem and Judea. Listen to this. May all nations be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach and observe all things I've commanded you, and I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, end of the age. Aren't you glad you can't get away from God? Aren't you glad He has all authority? What are we worried about? I've been in some tight spots, so have you. God never has let us down. I was in Zimbabwe several years ago, and we had a team there, and there was a big squabbling going on in that country. There's a revolution going on, but we were out in the bush, away from all that stuff. Some other police heard that we had medicine and they wanted our medicine, so they come to get it. And I says, this really isn't your medicine. It's for the people in Africa in these bush that don't have nothing, and we want to give that to them. Become an authority of Jesus. He said, an authority of Jesus. Well, let me tell you, Jesus don't work over here. I'm taking your medicine. I says, he does work over here. You ain't getting it. That may not have been the best thing to say, but that's what I said. It wasn't long. I was in jail. They took our medicine. They took our team and put them into a compound. And they says, you cannot share Jesus in this town. I said, sir, I'm sorry. I thought we could. I'm sure we got permission. I got a letter right here giving us permission to do this, to bring this medicine in. We haven't done anything wrong. So I'm sitting there in that jail. I sit there for several days, and I'm wondering where God is. Where he at, God? I didn't come over to fight with nobody. I just come over to share the gospel, give him an aspirin, give him Jesus. Well, it made big news. Got this American locked up in jail over there. And so we was over there starting a mission church in Groovy, Zimbabwe. We planted a church in Emmanuel years ago, and we were going to go to Groovy and plant one. And so the pastor, his name was Emmanuel. He'd been preaching there for about two years, and he had eight people. In their church is a tree, the nice tree, a shaded tree. He had about 12, 15 people coming. And that Sunday morning, the police came into where I was and said, hey, we got some good news. There's about 500 to 600 people showed up in church over there today. And that Pastor Emmanuel is preaching his heart out. I said, God, I am so stupid. How could I not trust you? This pastor knows him and loves him. Who could do any better than that? It took us a few days in a little bad spot. But my God, the guy who arrested me, I got to lead him to Jesus. I got to tell him how God, and you know what he told me? His wife was a Christian, but he never believed. But now he believed because he's seen God work. I just want you to know, sometimes it's awkward, but there's never a way that God will leave you. You've got to believe it. How about old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walk into that fire? How about that one? I'll not bow, I'll not bend. They get in there and dance around with Jesus for a while. How about that one? You can't dance till you get in the fire sometimes. So I want you to know, it's okay to be afraid. It's just not okay to stay afraid. Now I have an assignment for us to do together today. Pay attention. You have turned in names of people that you'd like to have prayed for. We went through our church register and rolls and peoples that we haven't seen for a long time who we need to be prayed for. We have all kinds of people here. In this envelope is a name. It has a contract, a contact, an email or an address. It's right in here for you to contact this person. This person's name has been turned into our church or is in our church files. And I'm going to ask you to do something this morning under the authority of let's all go together. I'd like for you to come and get one of these. And I'd like you to take this home. I'd like for you to pray for them every day this week. You may know them and you may not know them. Just pray for this person every day this week. You can find out about them. However you choose, pray. Well, I'm not a very good prayer. Just start learning. Pray. It's just talking to God. Let me tell you something. You know, when I pray to God, I partner with God for the works of God on this earth. I partner with God so he can bring down and answer the prayers of his children. So, you pray for this person all week. Next Saturday, I'd like for you to contact this person, however you choose, email, a letter. You may want to write a note. You may want to call them. You may want to go visit them. And you may want to just say that I'm Ron. I went to church Sunday, and we're all going together in prayer for everybody in our town that we can find. And I've prayed for you. And I've asked God to help you and to be with you in every storm that you have. And I ask God to work in your life. And I'm honored to thank you that I could pray for you. And I just want you to know that. And if you don't have a church home, I'd like to invite you to come to First Baptist Brandenburg. I can come get one of these. Elizabethtown, Kentucky, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was doing this in a church. A lady came to me at the back of the church, and she was crying. She says, "No, Brother Ron, I can't take this one. I hate this man." I said, tell me your story. This is my ex-husband. And you want me to pray for him? I says, there was about 300 cards up there, and you got his name. It could be a God thing. I don't believe in coincidence. She says, how can I pray for him? You don't know what he's done. I said, I don't. The Bible says, pray for those who despise and forsake you. Just love an enemy. All I can tell you is, if you may get you another one, I will. But I want you to think about that one tonight. The next morning she called me. She says, Brother Ron, thank you. I prayed all night for me. I prayed all night for me. I'm so hurt and so angry and so mad. And I'm going to pray for my husband, ex-husband, today. I know his problems. And I know how to pray for him better than anybody. See how God works? Whoever it is, they need prayer. At the end of the week, she came to that church service. She stood up and told the church the story. I got my husband's ex-husband's name, and everybody knew her ex-husband. She was a church member and knew the drill. But she says, I am so blessed that I learned how to pray for him, because I just didn't know I was supposed to. I want you to know, prayer can rock your house. It can change your life. It can move in your heart. And she went to her ex-husband. She didn't send a letter. She went. And she says, I hugged him. I said, I prayed for you all week. I just pray that God would help you. I know you need help. But he helped me praying for you. What a story. Let's just pray. Let's not be afraid. Amen? We're not a perfect prayer. We're just by faith we pray. Come and take one of these. Let's all go together. This morning at our 9 o'clock, they all came. If you're not comfortable in walking down this aisle when church service is over with, you can come up here and get one. Maybe you're not a member of this church. Maybe they're not either. That'd be a good deal, wouldn't it? Just pray for them if you believe in prayer. Well, I don't know how to get connected. Nobody does. Just pray. And let's ask God to do a work. Let's go ye together. We'll change this town when we're together. We can't change nothing until we're together. Got it? So as we sing this invitation, we're not even going to sing it right now. We're just going to play it. You know what? I called Becky Friday. I said, Becky, do me a favor. Put my name in there. Just put my name in there. Just go ahead. I'd love for you to pray for Ron Davis. I need it so bad. Just pray. And so wherever you get, don't judge a person. Talk to God. All that religion stuff goes away. Amen? So now, let's stand our feet. Let's all go together. You come. There's cards all over this place. Get your card. Feel free to come. Come right now.